The second text selected for today is from Paul's letter to the church at Rome. I invite you to listen for God's word to the church. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Word of God, word of life. Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, renew the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be recreated in this moment, and you shall renew us. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Who here has ever viewed a TED Talk? Okay, good. Then hopefully this will make some sense to you. I have a couple of favorite TED Talks. Number one is We Need to Talk About an Injustice by Brian Stevenson. Brian Stevenson is a public interest lawyer who has dedicated his career to helping the poor, the incarcerated, and the condemned. He's the founder and executive director of the Equal Justice Initiative, an Alabama-based group that has won major legal challenges eliminating excessive and unfair sentencing, exonerating innocent prisoners on death row, confronting abuse of the incarcerated and the mentally ill, and aiding children who have been prosecuted as adults. This man is often referred to as America's Desmond Tutu. Second one I really like is titled Looks Aren't Everything, Believe Me, I'm a Model. Not me. But from Cameron Russell, her bold admission that becoming a model was easy because she happened to have won the genetic lottery of being white, pretty, and privileged. Near the conclusion of her talk, she nuances. Models have the thinnest thighs and the shiniest hair and the coolest clothes, and they are the most physically insecure women probably on the planet. And then she concludes her TED Talk with her own honest admission of her insecurities. And then, of course, there's the Brené Brown and her 2010 TED Talk entitled The Power of Vulnerability, which is one of the most viewed TED Talks in the whole world. A TED Talk I watched again in preparation for the sermon this morning is entitled The Danger of a Single Story by Chimamanda Adichie. Adichie is a noted Nigerian author and believes that stories matter, but that all too often in our lives, we operate from the perspective of hearing and knowing a single story about a person, a situation, or perhaps a conflict. And that we operate from the perspective of a single story unconsciously. The risk of the single story, the one perspective, is that it can lead us to default assumptions, conclusions, and decisions that may be incomplete, and may lead to misunderstanding. Operating from the context of a single story can prevent us from a more complex, nuanced, and balanced view of a situation and even a human being. Enter the story of Jesus. We find our moorings as Christians in the old Hebrew understanding that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, which is to say that true wisdom begins with a sense of mystery and awe in the presence of God. The writer of Deuteronomy framed such awe in terms of the affirmation and command which lies at the heart of the Hebrew Torah and at the center of our faith as well. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and with all your mind. Jesus refers to the same in the Gospels. Jesus is not the first to do this, by the way. When he gives his own talks to engage his disciples. Our minds are an integral part of our discipleship. Our minds are essential in the equation of devotion. The life of the mind is crucial to a life lived in the service of God. We are, after all, those who have been encouraged to embrace the mind of Christ. In Philippians, a mind of humility, a mind of thoughtfulness, a mind of self-emptying embrace of God's purposes. The imperative in Jesus' reiteration of the commandment, read by Jody, requires of us honest thought and the alignment of our intellects with our hearts and our wills in the service of God. And so, when we do that, it invites us to imagine that we may need to consider more than one story in the service of what is holy. The love of learning, the proper stewardship of our rational capacities and our hearts inclined to explore the depths of Scripture are likewise characteristic of the Reformation from which the UCC can trace its roots. The UCC is included in the small group of reformers who decided that it needed to be different and imagined another way. From our roots, we have been shaped as a people for whom the life of the mind was an appropriate and faithful venue of discipleship. It has been long understood that the transformative process of a vital life of the mind, of education, we are thirsty learners as Christians. We always want to be educable and open. And that a vital life of the mind, a vital life of education, can stem the rising tides of ignorance, fear, and distrust. So how do I demonstrate that I love God with my mind? Is anyone else distressed at the lack of thought and superficial interpretation that prevails in so many public representations of what it means to be a Christian? How am I, as a thinking Christian, committed to learning and growth? How am I able to engage my mind with faith to make sense in the world that we now encounter, which is a much different world than the world 2 years ago? Dr. Steinke, in his work on the intersection of family systems theory and healthy congregations, would call this mature interaction, loving God with the mind. Mature interaction. He reminds us that congregations function well when they attend to growth processes. In the systems approach, the growth process that receives major attention is the person's capacity to be a self in the relationship system. In other words, does the congregation have plenty of opportunities for me to grow as a mature person? As Steinke would often say, the best test and the most difficult test to administer is, do people grow as persons? While being served, are they becoming healthier, wiser, more likely themselves to become servants? Healthy congregations are interested in the growth of other people. This is what helps minimize the reactive, the defensive posture. They stay open and curious because they want people to grow. Healthy congregations are not devoted to how people failed or circling around who is to blame. If a congregation is invested in growth, this mature interaction, healthy congregations will have leaders devoted to learning. They will grow leaders devoted to encouraging education and the devotion of the mind to the purposes of Christ. And I can hear I have agreement out there. Of course, loving God with our mind is a growth opportunity for any congregation and a responsibility of the individual Christian. I am responsible for moving myself to a more thoughtful position, a favorite mantra of our adult faith formation class this month. There are ample opportunities to engage the love of God with the mind, with the book club, the Bible study opportunities, the adult faith formation class, and I will tell you a whole host of ecumenical and interfaith forums in Kalamazoo in Southwest Michigan. The Apostle Paul encouraged us to be transformed by the renewal of our minds, not just for what is good and acceptable, for what is perfect, and what the Greek means there by perfect is whole. That you engage your mind in the mature interaction to consider things from different perspectives, to engage the complexity. That's what mature interaction looks like as we grow. We can be more curious, more thoughtful. We can shift our patterns. We can thoughtfully choose to focus on Christ and the mercy and love of God that we find in Christ. We can consciously choose in our thoughts to reject the patterns and routines that the world promotes as desirable in order to live with a heart for God. When we engage our minds with our hearts for a balanced, thoughtful consideration of the question, where do we find God in the middle of all this? And then what do we understand God needs us to do about this? What the Apostle Paul encourages here in the 12th chapter of Romans, as he writes to the church in Rome, is that if we can change our patterns from focusing on ourselves to focusing on Christ, that's what will change our lives. Because when we truly understand here, not just here, when we truly understand God's love and mercy for us, we discover that there are reasons to transform our lives and renew our minds. And then we will experience growth and mature interaction. So how do we create new patterns as Christ followers in a congregation? Well, the first step usually and typically is to humble ourselves. To realize that we may be attached to one single story. One perspective, only our opinion, our experience. And when we're able to humble ourselves, perhaps then we're able to edge in and create a little bit of openness. This humility from step one creates an openness to be open to other people, their opinions, their experiences, their stories. And when we discover that their experience and their opinion, their perspective is different than our own, what we'll notice is an ability within ourselves to soften our assumptions, to have less of a tendency to levy judgments. That'll dissipate. And the foundation, of course, is that we start with ourselves, our issues, and others who are different from us. Because leaders are learners. They get informed, and being a healthy Christian involves learning and growth. Because it's true of me, it's true of you. You don't know what you don't know. Because as Christian learners, we understand that the stakes are significant. Whew! They are significant. We are not a secular organization. We are a faith-based movement to empower people and our culture to move toward healing, equity, and reconciliation. We know that people, organizations, and congregations are aware of and are responding right now to the brokenness and systemic injustice in our world. We choose, in body, mind, and spirit, to do it differently. As people of faith, we do not give allegiance to a world conditioned by a racialized, gender-bound, monetized, and greed-infested culture. As people of faith, we are grounded in the grace and truth of God's love and mercy for us, which quite necessarily involves a renewed mind. So, what is the consequence of this faith-based worldview? Well, here's the consequence. One of them. There are many, not just one. One of the consequences is that all are equipped for ministry. All. This requires that we love God with our minds, our hearts, our strength, because we cannot do this work in our own power. That's part of what we acknowledge when we humble ourselves as God's people. In the words of St. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the work of mature interaction in Christian growth are reflected in his thought when he said, and here I quote, "Don't insist on your rights. Don't blame each other. Don't judge or condemn each other. Don't find fault with each other. But accept each other as you are. And forgive each other every day from the bottom of your hearts." I agree with the great saint. And I also acknowledge, as I have to every day, that I cannot do this on my own. Living like this requires a power beyond what Nancy Cahan is capable of. Leaders as learners in the church for me include to spend time in prayer, to read and do a deep dive into the study of Scripture, to intentionally serve other people every day, these things are every day, and to listen to the voice of God, for God is still speaking. I need to be intentional about turning my thoughts toward God. And so these are included on my list, a daily list of Christian growth and mature interaction. As Steinke and others would say, being a healthy Christian involves learning and growth, being able to engage nuances and complexities, being able to achieve a balance in that acknowledgement. God is still speaking. And as our friend, the Nigerian Chimamanda Adichie, says in her TED Talk, we have to be open to giving space to hearing a multitude of stories so we can empower and humanize others. For us as Christians, in other words and in other worlds, we are all equipped for ministry. The love of God, the mature interaction in the congregation, involves the devotion of being a thirsty learner, of acknowledging there is yet more to be revealed, to learn, to grow in Christlikeness, and to displace the fear and distrust and ignorance that threatens this present age. You want to be a bridge? Get informed. Get involved and be intentional about turning toward God. Thanks be to God. Amen.